I have the privilege of welcoming you all, greeting you all on behalf of the St. Andrews Partnership. Today, as Doug has told you, we're beginning this new series which is entitled The Cost of Success. Now, the series is for Christians. It's not intended to be evangelistic. The rector here is very able to do that, far more able than any of the partnership members. But it's a series which consists of four talks on health, on families, on jobs, and on ministry. And today's talk is divided into two halves. Simon will be talking about health. My responsibilities are to explain the objectives of the series and to set the scene for today's talk. Now, the practice in St. Helens, as you all know, is to base our talks on the Bible. And we're continuing with that practice. And today's passage will be found in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, or page 182, if that's easier. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. Now this I affirm and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of uncleanness. You did not so learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. Put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new nature, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Can we just pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have drawn us here today to study your word. We recognize you as sovereign Lord. We pray that you will bless our endeavors to study and examine your word, and we pray that you will inspire us that we can gain something new from it. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. During the series and during the four talks, the members of the partnership who will be talking will be contrasting the cost of success with the price of happiness. We'll be contrasting the cost of success with the price of happiness. If you will look at the Bibles, and if you will look at verse 17, the last phrase, in verse 17 it there says, in the futility of their minds. And in verse 23 we see, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. The first contrast that we would like to bring to your attention today is the contrast between futility and renewal. On the one hand, there is futility, on the other, renewal. But there's a distinction between those who have a renewed mind and those who have a futile mind. And this, the distinction we can find in verse 20, you did not so learn Christ. Those who have Christ have a renewed mind. Those without him, as Lord and Saviour, have a darkened mind, a futile mind. With that distinction and with that contrast, we'd like to draw some distinctions between city life and God. All of us are business people, and the city is concerned with the creation and preservation of wealth. And it's also to do with power. But God is concerned with the recreation and the preservation of health and of happiness. Very often, success in the city is to do with making money. To do with money, possessions, cars, homes. We call that word materialism. But God is concerned with individuals, and he's concerned with relationships. The spirit which prevails in the city, by individuals, even by some Christians, is also to do with power. How many people do you know who are interested in power, status, seniority? How many people do you know who are interested in the promotion ladder, who are ambitious? And they're ambitious because they want to increase their wealth. They want more money. They want power over other people. In the Bible, there's a word for that. It's called dominion. But God is sovereign. If you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. We read there, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." If you just bear with me and look at that passage for a second. The Lord did not give any man or woman, he created them equal, dominion over any other man or woman. He gave them dominion over the animals, and the birds, and the fishes, and the insects, and the natural resources, the land, the air, the sea. But not dominion. God is sovereign. The St. Andrew's Partnership teaches us many things, and one of the things that the members have learnt is that there are three stages to the Christian life. And as I look round and explain this, I know that many of the partners will smile. But the three stages are: one, to be evangelized; two, to be equipped; and three, to be employed. We're to be evangelized because we're to listen to the gospel. We're to be equipped because we're to learn the gospel. We're to be taught the Christian life. And we're to be employed because we are to be of service to God. If you go back to me, with me, into the book of Ephesians, and verse 21, Ephesians 4, verse 21. We're going to just talk about three things: listen, learning, and obeying. Verse 21, it says, "Assuming that you have heard about him." That means that we listened to him. We listened to his word. We were evangelized. And we were taught in him. Means that we learnt about him. We learnt the Christian life. We were equipped. Verse 22. Put off your old nature. Verse 24. Put on your new nature. We obeyed. These three stages: listening, learning, and obeying. I told you earlier that it was my responsibility to state the objectives for the series. As we discussed it, the first objective was that, or the first responsibility is that I should highlight the fact that Christians, you and me, we are influenced by the attitudes and the values which prevail in our city. When I was studying to prepare this talk, I discovered that the word futility, the root meaning of the word futility, is to do with leakage. The ladies will know colanders and sieves, how water seeps through. These values and these attitudes in the city which dominate us from time to time, they're like acid, and they erode our minds. What can we do to stop the erosion? Well, that's the other objective of the series. The series is designed to prompt us to examine our lifestyles, to ask ourselves about the balance in our lives with regard to these four aspects of health, family, job, and service. There's no need to turn it up, but in the book of Colossians chapter 3, that's the order that we are to have those four aspects of our life: our individual needs and right relationship with God, caring with for our relationships with our family, for our husbands, our wives, and our children. Then seeking satisfaction and fulfillment in our jobs. And then being committed to service in our ministry. I want to give you this example of a juggler. If a juggler had four Indian clubs and he dropped one and he carried on juggling and he tried to pick up the fourth, the one that had fallen, the likelihood is he would drop another one and another one till he'd be left with only one. These four aspects of our lives, health, family, jobs, and service. Do you balance them? Are they all balanced? If you were to write down on a piece of paper and measure in percentage terms the value that you ascribe, the energy and the effort that you ascribe to each one, I'd be surprised if they were balanced. The juggler could not pick up the onion club that had fallen on the floor. And neither can we get balance back into our lives. We can't do it unless, verse 23, unless we are renewed by the Spirit of God. Unless we are renewed by the Spirit of God. And we can only be renewed if we listen, learn, and obey. I'd like to give you another contrast. Some of the costs of success that we encounter are time pressure. Some of us, me included, are often described as workaholics. We do too much work. We spend too much time in the office. But there are others who suffer stress. There are conflicts at home. But perhaps the most damning of all these things is the obsession that prevails in our life and in the city for money and for power. This obsession for wealth. And it's costly. The definition for an obsession is an unhealthy preoccupation with something. Unhealthy preoccupation with something. Or an unreasonable persistent idea in the mind. Unhealthy or unreasonable. And I want to contrast with that word, obsession, the word obedience. That we are to be submissive and dutiful. And we are to obey God. I have only one thing of practical help that I can share with you before Simon talks to you. I have two little children, and we have two little children. They are 12 and 9. And I try to teach them about the Lord. So I want you to think for a moment about the word Lord. L-O-R-D. I want you to listen to the Lord. I want you to obey the Lord. I want you to remember the Lord. And I want you to do what the Lord wants you to do. That is the only thing that I can offer you. That the word Lord is preeminent in your minds, that you have a sound mind, that you can be renewed. Listen, obey, remember, and do. Simon will talk to us now about an encounter with the Lord. Two men, one of unsound mind and one of sound mind. Simon.
Thank you, John. In the Oxford English Dictionary, there is a word which is now classed as rare, which is very apt to what we are going to look at today. It is the word healthless. Healthless. And it is defined in the dictionary as follows. Destitute of bodily, mental, or spiritual health. If we are going to learn what health, and particularly spiritual health, is and means, it is important and indeed vital to see the other side of the coin, what it is to be without it. Then we will be able to compare the difference and draw our conclusions accordingly. So we are going to look at Jesus' encounter with two men. First, with Legion. We shall see a man who was completely out of his mind. who was put into his right mind, and how he listened to and obeyed Jesus. Secondly, the rich young ruler. You will probably recall him. He comes to Jesus, earnest, upright, full of promise, but he goes away in disobedience and in sorrow. Then we will see what we can learn from these two encounters, and we will focus on two words, listening and obedience. So first we're going to look at Legion, and if you would like to turn that is in Mark's Gospel in chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Mark 5, which is on page 37 of the New Testament sections of your Bibles. In this familiar passage, we are told of a man who was possessed by an unclean spirit, and he could not have been more healthless. He actually lived, as it were, among the dead. In verse 3, we are told, he lived among the tombs. No one could control him, and he was not going to let anyone do it either. In verse 3 again, no one could bind him any more. Verse 4, no one had the strength to subdue him. Then he cried out, verse 5, but he had nothing to say, and certainly nothing worth listening to. And lastly, he abused himself, verse 5 again, he bruised himself with stones. In a phrase, this man was out of control, or out of his mind. And as we look at our society, we see many examples of this. The pop star who's headstrong and brash and ends up on drugs and in a clinic. Or perhaps less obvious, but actually not really any different, the workaholic who works himself until he collapses. And it happens. Indeed, it happened only a few months ago to a husband of a friend of our family. A man who was so obsessed with his work that he would not even take a break, not even to go on holiday with his family. And then one day, when they were on holiday, but without him, his brain and his body said, enough. And he was found collapsed. Fortunately, he has lived, but I suspect that he may never fully recover. And we too, though perhaps less obviously again, we too get out of control. Now as we see Legion ranting and raving among the tombs, Jesus comes into his life. And this is a breathtaking example of Jesus' authority over all things. He says in verse 8, two words of command, come out. And the unclean spirit knows it has to obey. But let us look on to the difference that comes to Legion as a result and its consequences. When the local people, full of curiosity, come to see what's happened, they see three startling things about him, which are all referred to in verse 15. Verse 15, they came to Jesus and they saw the demoniac sitting there. He was sitting, he's still, and he's calm. And secondly, he's clothed. He's no longer abusing his body, he's looking after it. And thirdly, and perhaps most significantly, he is in his right mind. Not out of his mind any longer, but in it, in his right mind. What a transformation. Indeed, Mark had emphasized twice in verses 3 and 4 that no one could do anything with this maniac. It was beyond man's power. But now Jesus has come, and he demonstrates that nothing is beyond the power of God. So Legion, the man possessed by a demon, has become Legion the disciple, the follower of Christ. Now it's important to notice what happens next, and for us to grasp the significant difference between, on the one hand, what Legion wants to do, and on the other hand, what he actually does. Legion not unnaturally wants to stay with this extraordinary man who has saved him, this Jesus. Indeed, as Jesus departs, in verse 18, Legion begs to go with him, to be a literal follower. And we can surely understand and sympathize with this desire. It must have been very strong. Here, Legion was seemingly being left behind, now in his right mind, but not knowing what to do or where to go. but Jesus knows, and tells him in verse 19 to do two things: to go home and to tell of the great news of what God has done for him. And Legion obeys. Probably the last thing he actually wanted to do at that moment was to leave the man who had, well, given him life. But he listens to Jesus, and he obeys Jesus, and he acts. He goes home, and he proclaims. And what a great story he has to tell. Now he really has got something to cry to the rooftops about. And we see in verse 20 that men listen to him and marvel. Here was a man who was totally out of control. But when Jesus came into his life, all that changed. Jesus became Legion's top priority. And as he put Legion into his right mind, and having got him rightly aligned, he sends him back to his home, to his family, with a job to do and a ministry to perform. The cost of his obedience was probably never to see Jesus again here on earth, but he obeyed. And because of his obedience, God was able to use him throughout that area where Legion's story and background must have been well known, and where what he now had to say must have had the greatest impact. And now let's turn to look briefly, in, by way of a sad contrast, at the rich young ruler. And we find his story in Mark chapter 10 and verse 17 on page 44. Mark 10, verse 17. You'll remember that this man comes to Jesus, kneels before him, calls him good teacher, and then asks the key question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Here is a man who was upright and good, a thoughtful and a caring man, who had tried to keep God's commandments, and Jesus looks on him with compassion. And then Jesus puts his finger on what is really holding him back. In his case, his wealth, his material security. And when Jesus tells him that he must put this aside if he is to be a true disciple and follower, why, then the cards really are on the table. Jesus says to him in verse 21, "Come, follow me." And this upright young man faces a stark choice of priorities. Indeed, the price in this case could not have been clearer. It could even be counted up in pounds and pence. The young man chooses his wealth. And immediately, verse 22, he is sorrowful. He is not prepared to change his way of life or his mind set. The price is too high for him. But what does his choice bring him? Mental anguish and sorrow. He departs from Jesus with his money intact, but in sadness. His priorities exposed to be wrong, willing at first to listen, but not to obey. And one can imagine that he went away silent, for he had nothing to say. Now, what can we learn from these two encounters, Legion on the one hand, the rich young ruler on the other, about ourselves and the balance in our lives? Let's look at two words: listening and obedience. First, listening. When we first met Legion, you'll recall that he was out of control. He got no time for anything or anyone else. But are we really under control in our lives? Under God's control in every area of our lives? Or are we too busy rushing about at work or at home, or even in Christian-related activities, too busy to listen? Too obsessed and wrapped up with our own ideas to listen to what God has to say to us. Bishop Taylor Smith gave this warning: beware the barrenness of a busy life. But how are we to do so? A friend of ours at home recently gave us a little pamphlet produced by an American Christian organization on stress. Now, as you probably know, the Americans have counselors for absolutely everything. I heard on the radio recently that you can even hire a counsellor to straighten out your pet cat's neuroses. Well, in this pamphlet, a stress counsellor was quoted, and what she said was actually very sensible. she talked about the necessity for the PQT. Now, PQT stands for personal quiet time. And she was saying how vital it was in coping with stress at home or at work for the Christian to come quietly before God in prayer every day and to listen to him. And she said that she had found with her Christian clients who did this that they became increasingly better able to cope with the stress in their lives and led increasingly better balanced lives. James, in his epistle, puts it this way: draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We must, therefore, make that time to draw near to God, to get our minds focused on him, and to learn to listen to him every day. So we must listen. Our second word, obedience. It is not, of course, enough just to listen. We saw that with the rich young ruler. We have also got to obey and act accordingly. We have seen that obedience can seem to be very costly. It can entail the giving up of that which seems to us to be most precious, whatever it may be. But we must be careful that we are not ourselves, in fact, being held back by an obsession with someone or something, our job or career, our house, even our car. We have a next door neighbour who spends, it seems, every spare minute he has on his car, and he polishes it up till it gleams. Indeed, I wish he'd spend some time on our car. But we all know that underneath his car is simply rusting away. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And obedience to God should be our hallmark. And therein lies the cost. It is God's will that should prevail in our lives, not our own. If we are prepared to listen and to obey, to get right-minded, whatever the cost, then God can and will use us. We will become equipped for service in our families and here in the city where we work. And we will have a ministry to work out. And we'll be hearing more about those three subjects over the next 3 weeks. Shall we close in prayer? Our heavenly and gracious Father, teach us to draw close to you, to listen, to have that personal quiet time each day, however busy we may be. Teach us to obey you, whatever the cost may be. And we pray that now you will send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.